Recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. And now, here's Larry.
Yes! You know, it makes me happy every time we get back in this studio.
I know, those people are still there.
I'm telling you, yeah. they just kind of hang out.
They never go home.
Yeah. Hey, welcome everybody. I think we've got a great show for you. And first thing off the bat, we need to tell you to ask you to please subscribe, like, and share. Honestly, we're having a great time doing this show, and we want you to be sure and put us in your library. If you're listening on podcast, put us in your library. It'll pop up on your phone first thing on Wednesday morning that says, hey, we've got a new show that we can listen to. It'll remind you. The other thing is to be sure and like it. Give us some comments on there and give us some ratings on those podcasts, all the different podcast platforms we're on, and then share it to your friends. You know, you can hit that share button and family and friends, be sure and let them know. Now, as you know, we also have video. We're over on YouTube. And Randy, I was downtown getting my car worked on by my mechanic down there. And Zach told me, he said, how's that thing going? And I said, well, I don't know. Are you listening? He goes, no, but I need to. I promise you. So the next day I went back and picked up my car and he goes, hey, I went back and I listened to some of the, I watched it over on YouTube. I really like what you're doing.
Right.
And he said, I picked up the phone and called four of my friends and said, you need to go and subscribe to this guy and listen to the show.
Cool.
So we picked up about four or five different subscribers.
Well, just on that note, I was having trouble getting the video on YouTube, and I think I got it figured out. So if somebody wants is having the same problem, because I would get the notices, but it would just be the audio of YouTube. So I unsubscribed, deleted, and the account. And then waited another day and came back and resubscribed, and it all came back right.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I think that was it.
Well, if you're, and I know that you had some friends that had mentioned that as well.
Right.
And on YouTube, the thing of it is they do a, we're on there as a podcast because of YouTube Music, and then also as a video for the YouTube video channel.
Right.
So you'll see the one that's the rectangle logo, if you will, is the video.
Right.
The one that's square, that is the podcast size
and it
that
says
everybody.
Podcast
yeah.
on it.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And
sure
then
does.
Tell them about your email. I want you to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tell her about an email.
Yeah. Be sure and you can send us an email of any type. It's LarryB@LarrysRRR.com. That's Larry B as in Buttram at LarrysRRR.com. And you can send us an email whether you like what we're doing, dislike what we're doing. If you say, hey, would you talk about this on the podcast? I'd like to see a show done about this because I'm working about 10 shows out. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got them all planned out and I'm working hard on them. So if you want to get in and say, hey, I got something I want you to talk about, well, jump in and let's do it. Now, also the good news, Randy, I met with Nathan, our webmaster that right. does a lot of this, all of this stuff with us, and we are now on Rumble.
Good.
Okay?
Good. Very good.
And he's got the majority of our podcast, our videos over there, so you can go ahead and watch that as well. And so if you want to switch over to Rumble, feel free to do it. It's kind of a more conservative YouTube, if you will.
Right.
And the last thing kind of on this, on my first agenda is happy birthday, Randy.
Well, thank you.
I didn't realize that how much yep. older you are than me.
Yeah, a little bit. just a little bit.
Wow. No
Not much.
No pushback yeah. at all. I can't believe that. Okay.
But I don't have a cake.
Well,
or anything.
I didn't get one either.
I mean, I know, but you got some.
We're supposed to be losing weight and stuff.
Yeah,
you know. All right. Maybe I'll buy you a donut somewhere or something. We'll cheat. Hey, folks, we've got a great show for you tonight, and we have got a special guest, Michael Paco?
Paco, that's right.
Paco, okay. Paco. And he is running for state Treasure, and we wanted to have him on and give him a few minutes to introduce himself, and he's going to be on the entire show. We've got several things we're going to talk about, and so we're excited about having him. Michael, what exactly does the state treasurer's job, what is it that you are going to be doing if you win this race?
That's a good place to start, because okay. a lot of people don't know what the state treasurer does.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the state treasurer is an independently elected constitutional officer of the state who basically serves as the state's banker. So the treasurer takes in all the receipts from fees and taxes,
okay.
Disperses funds to the various agencies as authorized by the legislature, and perhaps most importantly, manages the state's asset portfolio, which is presently in the neighborhood of $11+ billion.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a lot of responsibility, and it's, like I said, basically serving as the state's banker.
Okay. Now, I will tell you that Michael White was on our last show, and he was telling us what a brainiac you really are. And he said that in a very respectful way, didn't he?
He did.
I mean, he was really bragging on you. So I'm going to give you a moment. Brag on yourself. Tell us all about you and what your qualifications are and why you want to do this job.
Well, okay, that's a good place to start, too. You know, I decided to run for this office in this particular because it really seemed to me that given my background, my experience, my education, that I was uniquely qualified to do this particular job. Basically, I figured I could run for this office and credibly claim to be the most qualified candidate in the race.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is that my background includes economics. I'm an economist by profession. I have a background in banking and finance, having worked as an economist at the Federal Reserve System for over 20 years. And for the past 15 years, I've been the state economic forecaster at the Arkansas Economic Development Institute, which is at UA Little Rock. And in that capacity, I'm widely known as an expert on the state's economy. So I have the background, experience, and knowledge really do the job of state treasurer, to serve as the state's banker. And so it just made sense for me to run for this office, and I think it makes sense to vote for me based on those qualifications.
Randy, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel kind of stupid right now. I don't even know how to balance my own checkbook, you know.
I don't do it. I let somebody else
Well,
do
I
it.
Do, too. That's why CPAs are around. So.
I have a Shelly.
And the state has a big checkbook to balance.
I guess so. Now, I kind of, looking at this, it says that you are managing the state's investment portfolio or funds. When I think of that, I think of a portfolio like we've got stocks, bonds, you know, mutual funds, different things. Does the state actually have that? Or what are you talking about in managing funds?
Well, yes, the state does have an investment portfolio. It's restricted on the kind of assets it can hold. There are some very severe, you know, kind of priorities. The first is safety of principle.
Okay.
The treasurer is not going to lose any money by betting on risky prospects.
Okay.
Second is making sure there's enough liquidity available to pay the state's bills. And then only once you have assured safety and liquidity do you look at rate of return. But I think there's always room for looking at how those three objectives are balanced and what the kind of priorities are put on the different strategies that you could go. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I'd like to do if elected is to convene a panel of experts in finance and investment just to take a look at the state's investment strategies. The last time that a study of that type was done, that I'm aware of anyway, was over 5 years ago, before the COVID pandemic. And I think given the fact that we're now in a different economic situation, interest rates are now positive, the state's been flush with funds and has run these surpluses. That's swollen the size of the state's asset portfolio. And so this would be a prudent time to take a look at the state's investment strategies, and not with any sort of bias or predetermined idea in mind, but just to see if it still meets the state's needs given the current economic environment.
Okay. Well, did you know that we had a portfolio in the state?
No. I wanted to ask you, you know, I've heard people say, you know, balance the budget, balance Arkansas's budget and all that. Or will you be involved in that part of it? Is that part of what you do?
You will do? The treasurer really looks over even a broader range of monies than does the legislature. There's the Revenue Stabilization Act that guides the legislature's actions every spring when they get together and form the budget. But that's really only a part of what the state does. That's the general revenue fund. There are a lot of earmarked taxes that go directly to state agencies. There are federal grants and funds that come down and are distributed to other agencies. So when it comes right down to it, the portion of the budget that's examined by the Revenue Stabilization Act by the legislature is really somewhere around 10 to 20% of all the things that the state does. Now, that includes some of the things that are more like business-oriented activities, like state universities are part of the state's budget in a broad sense. UAMS is as well. So if you include all those, the state has its hands in a lot of different pots around the state, and those are all monies that go through the Treasury. So the budget itself is only a small portion of that.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you, is there anybody else that's running for this position? You're running as a Libertarian, right?
Yes, I'm a Libertarian candidate.
Just found out. I think I'm a Libertarian last week when Michael was on. He was talking about it.
That's good to hear.
So, you know.
We found out we was one by accident.
I know it. I think so.
You know?
I think so.
What we told Michael back then, our last show, was the fact that, you know, the Republicans were always the conservative. Then you had the Democrats, who was the moderates or liberals, if you will. And you had libertarians that were like, we don't know exactly what they are and why they're there. And then he explained all that to us and figured out kind of libertarians took the top spot as the conservative. The Republicans have slid down to the moderate at best. Okay, my party left me. I didn't leave it, as Ronald Reagan said. And of course, the Democrats, they just went to hell in a handbasket and went straight into communism, as far as I'm concerned. Let me ask you, now in this position, though, a political party really doesn't have anything to do with what you're going to be doing, because you're really just the banker, like in Arkansas, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is really an administrative executive position. It's not a policymaking position in any way. And so as far as, you know, actually implementing libertarian policies, there's not a whole lot that I would be able to do as state treasurer, other than by simply communicating with the people, explaining where all the tax dollars are coming from and where they're going, can make people more aware of the size and scope of government. And that's ultimately the goal of the Libertarian Party, is to reduce the size and scope of government. So in some ways, I see my role as educational. And that's, a matter of fact, one of my major pledges running for treasurer is that I intend to bring more openness to the office of state treasurer, what I call fiscal transparency. By which I mean I'll use the analytical and communication skills that I presently use to forecast the state's economy and present it to the public, but apply those techniques to the state's finances. And so I plan to produce regular reports for the voters, directly accountable to the voters, that are both comprehensive about the state's budget and comprehensible as well.
You know, as small business owners, and I'm just going to throw this out here for free, if you will, as small business owners, Randy and I recognize the value of marketing. And I think that a lot of politicians, and I hate to call you one of those because, but you know, I'll have to in this case. I think a lot of politicians, they only get their name out there during election time, and then we don't hear from them for another 2 or 4 years, whatever their election cycle is. And I would suggest to you, I suggested this to Michael. You know, he said, I'm going to do a bunch of Facebook posts and this kind of a thing. I said, why don't you come up with a podcast, even if it was just once a month or once a week, a 15-minute podcast, something like that. Why don't you come up with something like that? Keep your name and your agenda in front of people. Therefore, your accountability increases and the transparency that you're talking about, it soars.
Yeah, you can do it now with a simple iPhone and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's just 15 minutes.
Yeah. Wouldn't you appreciate, Randy, as an Arkansas voter,
absolutely,
hearing from our politicians and saying, hey, here's what I'm working on. Here's what's going on.
I think if they would do that, each of them would do that, it would really mean a lot to the people like us and see that.
Yeah.
Versus the ones that we never see.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, Michael White and I have very similar views on transparency and communicating with the voters.
Right. Well, hey, folks, we're going to go to a break here, but I want to tell you that I want you to stay there with us, because in segment two, we're really going to talk about some things that I think are really good that you're going to appreciate. So come back in just a couple of minutes.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best homestyle catering available, with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
All right, we are back, and I'm excited about this particular segment with y'all. We're going to talk about the exciting subject of electoral college.
Well, it's okay. Important.
It is. It's of utmost importance to our republic, to our country, and yet I'm afraid that most of us don't exactly understand it.
Terry, Larry, I was talking to a friend of mine the other night. And he's as old as I am.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize the importance of the Electoral College until just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then he saw that. I can't remember. It was some kind of election that happened. I think it was when one of the Bushes, and it got all,
you know,
tore up and everything. And
the hanging chad.
Yes. And then it was then he realized how important and how significant is the Electoral College.
And I've got a bunch of notes on that. And with our guest tonight, we have a fabulous guest for this particular thing. He said in passing, in a passing comment, well, two things. He said, well, I have been an electoral person, okay? I've never met one in person. Have you?
Nope.
Well, now we have. And the second thing, now, Michael, I'm going to just say this to your face. You said something kind of nerdy to me on the phone the other day. I was asking him, I said, do you understand that? He goes, oh, yeah, man. He said, when I was a kid, I had a deck of cards. And he said, I would watch the election results, and I would actually do the cards that counted the electoral votes. Now, I wish you'd have brought those. We'd have shown those if you still have them.
If I still had them,
yeah. So I think we've got the right guy at the right place on the right podcast.
Well, but if he knows about that as he does about finances, then I think we're going to be in good hands.
I'm really happy that I went and voted for him last week when the polls opened up. Well, here's a man that doesn't know anything, and that is Tampon Tim. Well, Tampon Tim said the Electoral College needs to go. He's in favor of deciding the presidency by a popular vote.
Then you're going to go to about five cities in the country, and that's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a voice. Might as well don't even come worry about Arkansas. Is that right, Michael?
There's a double-edged sword to it. I mean, the Electoral College was originally instituted in order to keep the larger states from having too much influence on selecting the president, to spread the power around.
Thank you.
In that regard, it was. I don't know if it could be considered a success. At the time, Virginia was the largest state, and, four out of the first five presidents were from Virginia. So it didn't exactly do the job then. But, it does effectively shut out a lot of states in today's environment. Arkansas is a great example. There is no one predicting that the outcome of the Arkansas election will go to Kamala Harris. It's almost certainty that the six electoral votes in Arkansas are going to go to Donald Trump. And so it really begs the question, well, why should you bother to vote for either one of those two? Because in reality, your vote's not going to matter. And so in that regard, I think it gives libertarians a little bit of an edge in making our case that as long as your vote's not going to change the outcome of the election between the two major party candidates, a vote for Chase Oliver, our Libertarian candidate, can actually make a difference, because if he gets just 3% of the vote in Arkansas, the Libertarian Party remains on the ballot for the next election. And that's the only way we can stay on the ballot, and other than going out and petitioning again for the eighth time in a row.
Mm. Well,
so
let me
creates an interesting situation.
Let me jump in and address this, because we talked about George Bush and the hanging chads, if you remember, back in the 2000 election in Florida. And everybody thought, well, that's how he finally won, But according to a lot of the research, he really won the election because he managed to flip one state which the Democrats thought was safe, and that was West Virginia. They had four electoral votes, and that turned out to be the decisive thing of why George Bush won that year, according to the research that I've got, according to some of the reports. So it wasn't just Florida and the hanging chads. It was actually the electoral system that our forefathers was smart enough to put in place, okay? Now, you can disagree with that, but now there's 538 electors, right?
Yes.
Has that number ever changed?
Well, it's always equal to the number of senators plus the number of representatives. So when they granted District of Columbia electoral votes, that increased it by three to bring it to the current total.
Okay.
But, you know, before they capped the number of state or of congressmen at 435, it was variable. And when Hawaii and Alaska joined the union, for instance, that added electoral votes as well. So
it's the number of senators plus...
Plus the number of representatives.
Mm-hmm. Plus the number of reps.
So we have four congressional districts in Arkansas, two senators, so that's six electoral votes altogether.
Right. Now, we've often said the reason that a lot of these states and cities want all the illegals in is because it drives their population up, and by population, that determines how many representatives they have. Is that correct?
It is true. The representation is based on population, and that's not necessarily citizens. It's a number of people residing in the state.
So if they get more people in there, then they could actually get another representative and have another vote.
Now, that only happens once every 10 years after a census.
Let me ask you this. Is it the number of citizens, or is it the number of population?
It's the population.
It's the population.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if they're illegal citizens or not.
When it comes to allocating the number of electoral votes, that is correct.
Wow.
Well, our country screwed up. Our government, you know, is just totally screwed up. I'm sorry, but they are. We're ran by a pack of idiots up there. And I say that, but I should correct myself. They're probably not idiots. They're just very good, evil people that know what they're doing to take over the country.
Well, you know, the number of electors doesn't change that much based on population trends. It does shift every 10 years a little bit. States like New York are losing electors. States like Texas are gaining them. But we're not up again for another 6 or 7 years until the 2030 census is complete.
So it's after the census then?
Yes. So we went through this process back in 2020. So the 2022 election was the same electoral, or the 2020 election with the same electoral college as now.
You know, some of the research that I've done, it says the founding fathers had no intention of creating a pure majority rule democracy. They knew that pure democracies do not work. They implode. And so that's why they put the Electoral College in. Democracy has often been, in this one article I read, said, democracy has often been colorfully described as two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for dinner. And I kind of like that, because in a pure democracy, bare majorities can easily bully or tyrannize the rest of the country. And the founding fathers said, we want to avoid that, because in this is the way that it takes a supermajority in Congress or three quarters of the states to change the Constitution. That's why we have this, because no one party or no one politician can just run out, let's say California. California has 54 electoral votes, okay? Well, if you run there, run to Texas that has 40, run to Florida that has 30, okay? A politician, if we didn't have the Electoral College and was just doing it on population, they could run to these bigger states and cities and actually win.
That's it.
And with us in Arkansas... What do we have? A little over 3 million people in Arkansas?
They wouldn't even mess with us.
No.
Probably 20 or 30 more states.
I should have looked it up, but I have no idea what the population of LA is. But God, they got to be but as big as our state.
If it was a national election, you'd certainly have all the action taking place on the eastern coast and west coast. And so, you know, that it does give the politicians a reason to come to smaller states in general. Although, like I said, if the voting base is skewed one way or another, it kind of closes off the state, as Arkansas really is in this particular situation, where we're clearly going to be dominated by Republicans. So neither the Republican nor the Democrat are spending much time in Arkansas. But the original idea was to make the candidates go to around the country, to where people are, where there's some dispute about who might win the election. So a lot of smaller states end up being swing states.
And I'll tell you, even with our 6 electoral votes, mm-hmm. we still matter.
Sure we do.
And that's, you know, the argument is as well, you know, how many times have you heard people say, my vote doesn't count? Mm-mm. Well, your vote does count. Every vote does count. Every state, every county, every city, they actually do count. You have to get out there and do your job and vote, even though I know that it's difficult to do, because right now we're living in a world that a lot of us, including myself, does it really matter?
Right.
They're going to steal it anyway, like they did in 2020.
Well, the other thing
you've
too
heard me
is
say you, that.
Yeah, the other thing too is you got to look at some of the local stuff too. You need to be involved in your local.
Absolutely.
I mean, Michael needs your vote. You know, probably a whole lot more than Trump needs your vote, but he needs your vote. Michael White needs your vote. So, you know, the local guys that we're promoting too, they need your vote. That's another reason why you need to go out and vote.
Well, Randy, I think you bring up a very good opinion there, and that is that, you know, we take a flyby and say, I'm going to vote for Trump, or I'm going to vote for this one or that one on the national, but we don't pay enough attention.
Right.
To the politicians that we have here locally. Mm-hmm. Look at the condition that our city is in.
Well, that's why I've said a lot of cities are going, and they're starting with the school board. Run for the school board.
Right.
If you can't,
right.
You know, if you're not as smart as Michael, then hey, and be a treasurer, then go run for the school board, and
Absolutely.
Let's get the kids straightened out first.
Absolutely. They've stolen a generation of kids from us, and turn them into liberal little robots.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the candidate forums that I attend all around the state, the local candidates are the real attractions. The people are coming to find out who's running for their city legislature, or say city board of directors here in Little Rock, or for their state representative to represent them at the state capitol. You know, that's more closer to home and just as important as the president, probably more so when it comes to how the politicians affect your everyday life.
Well, Randy, I don't know that we had a real roadmap on why we started this podcast, other than let's get on there and talk, you know? And
I got tired of hearing your rant at dinner every Wednesday night, and just, you know, so let's talk about something else, and then start a podcast where you can do your rants and all that stuff. That's what it was, Larry.
Yeah, that was it? Oh, golly.
You know that.
Boy.
You know that as well as I do.
Boy, vote of confidence for me. Well, you know, one thing is that the some of the research that I also looked at is that it a lot of people say it only matters on the swing states, but some of the research that I said that I've read is that safe and swing states are constantly changing. Take a look at California. They voted safely Republican up until 1988.
Right.
Texas used to vote Democrat all the time. Neither New Hampshire or Virginia used to be swing states.
Well, Arkansas used to be Democrat.
Oh, when I first moved here, I kept it a secret that I was a Republican.
I know.
People looked at you like you're a freak moving into here, you know?
That wasn't all that long ago.
No, it wasn't. It truly wasn't. And so now look at us. So the electoral vote here, folks, it takes 270 to win, okay? That's a number I think that we often hear quite a bit of. But the thing of it is our founding fathers were such brilliant.
They were.
Brilliant people to put this in place. Because if it hadn't have been for this, our republic would have already been sunk.
Sure.
I mean, it would have been over with as far as I'm concerned. So Tim Walz, well, you're a Tampon Tim, you're an idiot. And then, hey, I just saw this today. Tampon Tim did some kind of a podcast with AOC. Did y'all hear about that?
No.
He did a podcast with AOC, and he says if we win the election, he wants AOC as the Speaker of the House. God, I wish I had a close-up of your face right now. Now, that's how brilliant this idiot really is, you know? Michael, do you have anything else to say to this electoral vote? I got off on a tangent there, but anything else, you know?
No, I think you covered it all pretty well. I mean, I think a lot of people think that it's some big collection of people that gather in Washington to vote, and it really isn't. I mean, when I served as an elector, what that meant was if the Libertarian Party candidate won, then I would go down to the state capitol with my five friends, and we'd cast their votes, put them in an envelope, and send them off to Washington, D.C.,
where
they're counted. So it's, you know, when you vote on the ballot, you're voting not really for the candidates' names, but for the six electors that have been selected by the state party to send them.
All right. Now, I want to, right before we go to a commercial, I got one question for you, Michael, that I think you can probably answer. And that is Nebraska and...
Maine.
Has, you know where I'm headed.
Yeah.
Has a split electoral. Tell me, what's that all about?
Well, you know, as we talked about, you get two electors per senator and one elector per representative. In most states, it's a winner-take-all thing. So whoever wins Arkansas gets all six electors.
Okay.
In Nebraska and Maine, they do it separately by congressional district. So that if you win three of the four congressional districts in Nebraska, both the other party wins the other one, then the electoral votes are split. And there's an interesting scenario where I just heard about on the way here, listening to a radio show, that if Omaha, Nebraska votes for Kamala and the rest of Nebraska votes for Trump and certain other conditions hold, you could end up with a tie, 269 to 269.
I heard that on the news the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's one scenario that excites the reporters because it would create such an interesting dilemma.
So what happens then?
Then it goes to the House of Representatives, where each state has one vote. Each state votes as a delegation to choose the president.
Wow.
And then the Senate will choose the vice president independently.
Interesting.
I have so much that I could and probably want to say, but I'm going to hold it. Take us to commercial. Get us out of here before I say something else.
We'll be right back.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
Okay, folks, we're back. And the last thing that I would say on this electoral vote, and it'll bring us right into what we're going to talk about in this segment. You know, this electoral college, it's really an ingenious method of selecting the president that our founding fathers did. I can't even imagine the brain power that those guys had. I honestly stand in awe of our founding fathers. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I would tell you. They did this because they wanted it hard to steal an election. But now it's hard to steal an election, but not impossible. And 2020 taught us that. They blatantly stole that election, and they flaunted it in our face for the last 4 years. When Nancy Pelosi stood on camera and said, "I can assure you, I promise you, that Donald Trump will not be the next president," she knew exactly what she was saying.
Sure she did.
She sure did. You know, and I'll go back and repeat myself, but I found something finally, a picture of it here. I've never bought into polls. Okay. And as we were going into or ending last segment, you know, we talked about the 269 to 269 and all. This election is either going to be a complete and total blowout or they're going to steal it. I mean, I just think so. I remember when Ronald Reagan was running against Walter Mondale, and I brought this up before, but I finally found some numbers here. Ronald Reagan. We kept being told, and I was pretty young back then, that hey folks, you're going to have to stay up until wee hours of the morning to find out who the president is because this thing's so tight, about like they're saying right now with Trump and Kamala. Well, It just so happens that Ronald Reagan got 525 electoral votes. Walter Mondale got 13. Okay. So when I say I don't believe in the polls, I do not believe in the polls. And, you know, so that's a reason why. So let's talk about a couple of things that I think this electoral system makes it hard to steal an election, but not impossible. One of the first things I'd talk about is paper versus electronic ballots. I would tell you that in the biggest countries in Europe, you only have paper ballots. Why did we ever leave paper ballots and go to electronic? Well, we could talk about the ingenious of the electronics and all of that and all, but I really think that it comes down to steal it. Election fraud. They've proven that it's easier to steal with the electors with or the electronic voting than it is a physical piece of paper or representative that you can get caught cheating easier with paper ballots. In Brazil, they have electronic voting, but both parties have the code to check to see if someone's cheating or not. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., our machines have a proprietary code that is there, and we have no way of checking for accuracy.
Right.
In Brazil, they know the results of their elections within 75 minutes.
You know, I've seen in some of the third world countries what they have to keep people from voting twice.
Uh-huh.
You know what they do? They take their finger or thumb and they stick it in the ink.
Yeah.
And then they pull it out and it's a permanent ink for a couple of days. So you can't, it lets you know that you voted.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
That's what they. I don't know what. You know what country that is? There's probably several countries that do it.
I've seen that practice before. I don't know exactly where, but yeah.
You know, and I, you know me. If it can be computerized, I want it. Okay, I love that.
Right.
But
it's hard to beat a computer, though.
It is.
It's. I mean, especially if it's. You know, when I went and voted the other day, I asked the guy. I said, "What brand voting machine is this?"
Right.
Because I can't remember the name of the one that you...
Dominion?
Dominion. That's what I was going to say.
Dominion is the nasty one.
Is it a... Of course, he didn't know. He said, I'm just a volunteer.
Well, George Soros owns a lot of the Dominion machines, and they've already gone on Twitter, X, if you will, and said that basically they issued a pretty sketchy warning against Americans that said, if you go out and talk about the Dominion machines, okay, that they're going to come after you.
Uh-oh.
Basically threatened that if you keep talking about this, they call it disinformation, okay, and they've talked about it. It's pretty sketchy because it politically or really potentially inhibits the free speech of the matter of public interest that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want us to question the votes. The voting machine. So I don't know. I'm in favor of electronic ballots, electronic machines, but I want to throw it to our guest. What's your idea on this?
Well, you know, I don't know. My precinct is kind of technologically challenged, I think. When we go to vote, it's like taking an SAT test where you have to fill out the little circles.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's not like a push button or push screen kind of TV thing. And then they take that paper ballot and feed it into a reader. And I think it would be it would probably improve the credibility, the people's comfort level, if it would also then print out a receipt for you that told you exactly who you voted for, how the machine read it, because the machine is reading that code as you scan it in, and so that would be kind of a composite, a mixture of
we paper. Voted. Randy and I voted at the same. Not at the same time, but at the same library. And the machine that we voted, they give you a little stylus, and they send you in, and you tap on what you want to vote for and against and that kind of a thing, all right? And then you look at everything, then you hit enter, and it actually prints out a piece of paper that says, here's your voting. Then you walk over to another machine, And the guy's standing there and he says, are you happy with what it's saying? Yep. I double checked it all. And you run it through this scanner. Okay.
Okay.
Now, so it's doing what you would like. So maybe those machines, what is the name of that? Is it Roosevelt Library over on?
Yes, right over here, Rolling Road.
Rolling Road, yeah.
Now, Larry, I have to confess.
Okay.
You know, me and Donna went there to vote.
Okay.
They didn't let me vote.
Yeah.
They told me, said, your wife can vote,
mm-hmm.
but you got to get over there and sit down.
Yeah.
And stay here.
You got put in timeout?
Yes.
How come?
I did ask them if I could at least have a sucker. And they let me have a sucker. But she said, you go over there and sit down.
Uh-huh.
You know why?
Why?
I didn't have my driver's license.
Well, that's good.
I waited in line for an hour.
That's good.
And didn't have the driver's license. Yeah. I was very proud of them. They didn't. Donna tried to show them my picture from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
There, I mean, this is my wife, and here's a picture. There's a picture ID.
Randy, we went in.
It didn't work.
We ran.
I was very proud of them.
Carol and I went in to vote, and two or three days later, the guard at the front door, she said, have you got your voter ID? And I said, yes, ma'am, it's in my hand because I'm not going to be like my idiot friend. She goes, I know who you're talking about. She did.
I bet she did.
She knew exactly who you were.
I bet.
The Bahama picture and everything. She remembered
really?
It.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Did she ask why I didn't come back? Because I didn't go back there.
Really?
I went over to Maumelle and voted over there because the line was zero. So if you're going to go early vote, go over to Maumelle.
I got to tell you, I walked right in at 3 o'clock on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we were in there and out.
Now, what I did, going back to your point about... Mm-hmm. The machine,
yeah.
And then you get your paper and all
right.
that. What I did, because mm-hmm. there's been rumor, and I've heard some people say in Conway that what they vote for is not what's coming out on that paper. I don't know if you've heard any of that or not, Michael, but we saw some Facebook posts. And, of course, you know, if it's on Facebook, it's got to be true.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but
bet your life on it.
But watch out. So what I did was, right before it said... You know, it says review, and then it says print.
Yeah.
When it said review, I took my phone and took a picture.
Okay.
Made sure I got the, especially right. the ones I yeah. wanted, you mm-hmm. know, you guys and Michael and Trump mm-hmm. and all that. I took a picture of that. And then when it came, the printout came out, then I looked at the two, and I wanted to make sure that they were the same.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, then I, you know, so well, that what you hit the wrong button.
Michael, with these machines, they actually give you a little stylus and you just punch the thing, you know, like I said. And I accidentally, as computer literate as I am, okay, and I work on computers and phones all the time, I actually punched it and it flipped. Where I punched, it went to the other guy. And I went, whoa, and I brought it back. Now, I'm not going to say that was the machine trying to cheat. I think I probably just pushed the stylus a little bit and flipped it up there. But you have to double check. And, you know, with older people, I got to tell you, they're not going to be paying that close of attention.
Well, yeah. And I, like the forms that I have to fill out where you fill in a little circle.
It's, yeah, right.
Not always apparent right. which circle applies to which name and all that.
And you may not know this, but I own a restaurant and some of my clientele is pretty old. Okay. I don't even have a machine for them to put their credit card in. I take it from them and run it for them for that very purpose because they are, when you get up in age, hand shaky, this kind of a thing. I don't even know if they can fill in the little circle thing. So I think we need to pay closer attention to that. And whether we do paper ballot or machines, figure out how to make them more senior friendly. Is that a good thing?
Oh, well, certainly the population is aging. More and more absolutely. Of us are seniors.
There you go. And Randy, you brought us right into a second thing that I want to talk about, and that's voter ID. In every democracy, you must have a voter ID.
I didn't.
However,
they won't let you vote
in
here.
In America, the left says that if you insist on voter ID, you're racist. Now, why on God's green earth am I racist if I want a voter ID? What makes voter ID racist? The left says no on voter ID, but you go to Costco, I go to Sam's. Do you get in the door without a voter ID? I don't think so.
No, and if you go in Costco now, you got to actually take the card and put it under the scanner before you go in the door.
Seriously?
Yeah, they just don't look at it. Now they want to track you when you come in, and then they want to track you when you buy.
Well, why don't we have Costco in charge of voting? All of this stealing and thieving and stuff would happen.
I'm waiting on them to track you when you leave the store. Of course, they do check you. They do give you a little check on your...
Do you just got back from the Bahamas, right?
Yes.
Did you have to show an ID to get on the plane?
Yes, I did.
Those racist pigs.
I had to show my passport.
Those racist pigs.
Right.
Am I being smart aleck enough? Uh-huh. I hope y'all are getting that. This is why people don't trust our elections, because they know that the left will cheat. Americans don't trust their government. And I got to tell you, I was standing in the shower. I do some of my best thinking in the shower, okay? And the other day, honestly, I was feeling kind of down. No remark, Randy. No remark. I was standing in the shower just scrubbing and just enjoying life, you know? And I'm like, you know, Larry, sometimes you get on that podcast and you just act like you hate America. And I really was kind of feeling down. And it finally dawned on me, Michael, that I love my country, but I loathe my government. Mm. I don't trust my government. Why would you? Yeah, no. And we've got this, those of you that are watching on video, I don't know how many, probably 80 countries that you have to have voter ID.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I got a picture of this for you to put up on the video to show folks. Here in America, we want to do away with electoral vote. We want to do away with voter ID. Why? Because they want to steal these things.
Right.
And I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, an Independent. I don't care. Let's just make life fair. That's what America's all about, is the fairness of our election. And if we give that up, folks, we're giving away our entire country.
Well, it's important to have that credibility that the election is free and fair. And yeah. I kind of like the idea of dipping your finger in the inkwell.
I didn't know where he was going with that. So here's an article that I found. The new Texas Secretary of State is advising that they are allowing non-citizens' license as voter ID.
Hmm.
There's actually videos training people that are working the polls, and says that the Secretary of State says, hey, we're going to accept non-citizens driver's license as ID to vote in Texas.
Hmm.
Here's one that says that the majority of the House voted against non-citizen voting in D.C., okay, trying to stop it. It says a whopping 52 Democrats joined the Republicans on a measure, with 143 Democrats voting against it, for a final vote of 262 to 143 vote. I got to say that this is just absolutely ridiculous. Allowing non-citizens to vote in our, and yet we're told, oh, that doesn't happen. But there's proof.
Mm-hmm.
There's proof that it does. We'll get more into this, folks, probably next podcast, because we got to wind this thing down. But we're going to talk more about election fraud. So next election, or next week on our show, be prepared for us to talk about election fraud. But here, I'll end with this one note. Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, a couple of weeks ago, have already announced that their election results will not be ready election night. Everybody wants to say it's too big to rig, you know, but 2020 was too big to rig. Folks, I'm afraid they're going to steal it again.
Right.
Well, we'll see you next week. Michael, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck on the election. We voted for you, and we hope everyone else does.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.